name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's Gospel on the Good Samaritan raises one of the questions as to who is this lawyer, really, when we think about it, and why is it that he wants to tempt Christ? It's certainly not the first time the Jews tried to tempt Christ by seeing if they could trick him into saying something against the law of Moses and against their Jewish faith so that they might accuse Christ of blasphemy and discredit him. And we know that most of the leaders of the Jews at that time were also jealous of Christ. After all, people were following him and he was working great miracles, which is something that they were unable to do. And in a way, they really felt threatened by Jesus. When it's human nature that when someone reveals our faults or our shortcomings to us, a common response is to try to defend against this by overcoming the one who is threatening us. So why did this lawyer ask the question of what he should do to inherit eternal life? Well, the rich young man also asked Christ the same question. But the Holy Fathers say that whereas the rich young man was in earnest, he was not trying to entrap Jesus in his words or deceive him, this lawyer is trying to trick Jesus, and so he begins by trying to flatter Christ. He calls him teacher, as though he honors and respects him. St. Nikolai Vlimirovich says that of the question about eternal life, that the Jews of Christ's time understood eternity only as living long on the earth. In other words, the eternal life that Christ spoke about was not an idea that they were really familiar with or very interested in. And the Holy Fathers indicate that he had obviously heard Christ speak often of eternal life, and so this haughty lawyer makes use of Christ's own expression in order to ridicule him. When Christ asks the lawyer, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" the lawyer responds with, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your soul, heart, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." And again, the lawyer quotes these two commandments not because he himself really believes them to be the most important, but rather he knew that Christ had said these were the two most important commandments. And he's still trying to trick Christ into saying something that he can use against him. But the Lord, who knows all things, easily sees through the lawyer's schemes and malice and now turns the tables on him and affirms that he has answered rightly. "This do, and thou shalt live." But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" So the lawyer now falls into his own trap. He claimed to be an expert in the law and the commandments, as if he knew all about loving his neighbor, and yet now he admits he does not even know who his neighbor is, and so he proves that he's really not such an expert in the law as he claimed to be. Now the Greek word for neighbor that's translated into English as neighbor is the word plesios. And it has the literal meaning, one who is close. And the Holy Fathers say that this was because in his pride and arrogance and self-love, this lawyer considered himself to be above everyone else in virtue and righteousness, much like the proud Pharisee in the parable of the publican and the Pharisee. So his question really meant, who is close to me in virtue? Because he believed that no one was. And St. Theophylact says, "But the Savior, as maker of all, knowing that all men are one creation, defines neighbor not according to deeds or merits, but according to human nature." In other words, Christ was saying, do not think that just because you are righteous, no one is like you. All mankind shares the same nature, and thus all men are your neighbors. Therefore, you too must be neighbor to them and be near to all, not by location, but by the disposition of your heart, by your compassion. And even unasked, you must go to the help of others. So we can see why the Lord portrays himself as the Good Samaritan in the parable. And St. Nikolai Vlimirovich also says that the Jews of Jerusalem despised the Samaritans as unclean idol worshippers. And we know that the Samaritans started out by acknowledging the first 5 books of the law of Moses, but then they didn't really accept the other writings of the Old Testament, like the prophets and other things. And also they had intermarried with these pagan tribes, and so they actually had some idol worshiping in their practices and so forth. So they had some incorrect things. And the Jews, didn't like them and would have no dealings with them. But St. Nikolai goes on, he says, "The Lord also called himself a Samaritan out of love for sinners, because, he entered the roofs of sinners and ate and drank with them. Yet also spoke openly of having come into the world for the sake of sinners and not just for the righteous. So when the Lord tells this parable, you know, if you think about it, he could have just as easily said, "Why are you trying to tempt me?" You know, he could have scolded him, he could have reproached him, he could have refused to answer him and embarrassed him in front of everyone. But instead, the Lord gives us this wonderful parable of this Good Samaritan. And just a brief description of this, St. Theophylact and other holy fathers say that the man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho represents fallen human nature. And Jerusalem represents the heavenly kingdom, Jericho represents the fallen world. And when he fell among thieves, it means that he fell among into the influence of demons who stripped the man, depriving him of his garment of virtue, and then inflicting the wounds of sin, leaving our human nature half dead. So this, in a way, was an image of mankind at the time of Christ, that mankind had fallen from grace, from the kingdom of heaven, and in a sense was sort of half dead. The priest and the Levite signify the law and the prophets, who desired to make human nature righteous, but were unable to do so. And being defeated by the severity of the wounds of sin, they passed by. In other words, moved back into the past. I mean, the law and the prophets were given by God to help prepare man for the coming of Christ. They weren't, you know, meant to be to save us and to, you know, take us into the kingdom of heaven, because that was what Christ, the Savior, was going to do. For Christ, not the law was to be healing of Adam's wound, and the Samaritan is Christ, of course, who came and bound up our wounds with oil, the comforting teaching and compassion of Christ's human nature, and wine, which represents Christ's divine nature and the sharp teaching that stings our wounds of sins as it cleanses them. The inn that the Good Samaritan takes the wounded man to is the church, that is a place of healing for us. And then the innkeeper is every apostle, teacher, and pastor. And then the two pence are the Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And when he comes back, this means when Christ returns in his second coming, when he will reward all that have faithfully served him. So when the Lord asks the lawyer which of the three was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves, the lawyer answers rightly, "He that showed mercy on him." And then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." So brothers and sisters, this is what we are called to. We can see in this gospel that, you know, just being familiar with Christian ideals is of little value unless we can put them into action. As St. James wrote in his epistle, "Faith without works is dead." So let us therefore strive to be merciful Samaritans ourselves with those whom God places us in contact with. Maybe someone we know needs some encouragement, or is struggling in some way and needs help. But most importantly, let's ask God to help us to be more loving, for truly we need his merciful help so that we might imitate our Lord who loves us. Glory be to our God.